April. And when I was a child, I remember growing up, the old Farmer's Almanac or the old, people who drew inspiration from the sky. April comes in like a lamb and goes out like a lion. So those storms going across in the last night or two are not unusual for people who used to say generally that's what April was like. It would come in gentle, but it would leave with a strong exit. Anyway, we're here on a Saturday. We're ready to enjoy another weekend. It's going to be beautiful here in the Orlando area and most of Florida, from what I saw in the weather reports. Anyhow, it was really bugging me in the last week or two when I was listening to different things, something that always appeals to me. Ever since I was a kid, there's that other famous old saying about the kindness of strangers. And you find that there are a lot of people out there who react to things more with heart than just training. Luckily, they have the training, so they don't do any errors while they're reacting. But there are people who hesitate because they have certain prejudices that they didn't even know were in them, that they were maybe raised with and didn't recognize it, altered the way they looked at people just automatically. You know, the other doesn't always mean it's a Martian. It could mean a different color, a different religion, somebody who wears funny-looking clothing. I mean, I grew up when New York City had the predominance of Jewish people throughout the whole city. Still a lot, but, you know, the city throughout its history, New York has always been in flux, changing. Before America formed, after America formed, and it just depended because it was a big immigration intake port through the Bay of New York. So depending on which groups were coming from where, they were always new folks, you know, and you figured you finally settled and got new people moving in. As I said many, many podcasts ago, interestingly enough, we have HUD, you know, Housing and Urban Development. That the precursor to all of that was, as I said, old biblical law, where in parts called the Talmud, where they, it's not religious law, but it had things that talk about the relationship of the physical elements that we use as people. Houses, outhouses, rivers. Because remember, in the old days, they didn't have plumbing and stuff. So people used either chamber pots and had to empty them and everything. I hate to say it, most people nowadays, whether they're clean or dirty, if they had to live back in those days, even in major cities like Rome, when it was an empire, there were no windows. There were openings in the wall. People used chamber pots. They'd go in them. They'd throw this stuff out the window. So if you were walking in the streets down below, you would be hit with fecal matter or whatever the hell was in that pot when they emptied it. So that's another reason that walking through the city, even if it was a nice warm day, you generally wore a helmet or a hat of some sort. It used to be a joke. There was a play that was very popular. Yeah, you could look it up. It was called The Man of La Mancha. And it was about a guy who was on a quest. He was crazy. He was always willing to slay the dragon and get in there and fight, especially for a lady, you know, to rescue her. And he was always considered a little bats crazy. But the manservant who went with him, Sancho Panza, very interesting character. People don't understand it. He would always wear this little helmet, which was like a cereal bowl with a wide lip. And the thing that he wore was like these things that people would wear if you walked through the streets of Rome. So if somebody was throwing stuff out their window, it hits you on the head. You don't have to immediately jump in a river and scrub yourself clean because nobody looked. They just tossed it out the window. So think of it. These beautiful cities you hear about and think about that look great. No plumbing. The streets were actually built so that they sloped slightly. They didn't want them flat and level. Because what they did was when the rains would come off the mountains or the aqueducts that they built and used, as I also said in one of my podcasts, Isaac Newton was the first guy to write about gravity and tell people what he thought. People understood it way before he was born, centuries before he was born, millennia, because they knew that water ran down. They didn't know gravity did it, but water ran down. So when the Romans built these aqueducts that came from the mountains into the city to fill up their baths and everything else, they engineered them to slope, and the streets sloped so that the rains would wash the streets down. Nowadays, we used to have street sweepers in the old days, and then we had big tanker trucks that would run through the city and hose the streets down because there were more people who were letting their dogs make in the street. That's why they want to control it, because the bacteria could cause disease and start a plague. So we've progressed. As I said also, we've added more to our life as our existence on this planet by sanitary conditions that we've changed over time than we've added just by medical changes. The medical changes were when we were sanitary enough or living long enough to find out when we got older that we had these other things going. So anyway, the Talmud were laws for how people got along with each other, whether a house was encroaching, and they'd have courts that they would use that based on these rules that they had derived from people interacting. So the idea of Sancho Panza, he wore this helmet, and in the play, Man of La Mancha, it was called the Golden Helmet of Mambrino. It was a chamber pot, but not round like a pot, a bowl with a wide rim that you could grab and then toss out the window. So when we look at all these things, you find that people would open their heart or not, be useful, do things that were better when you're living in close proximity. So people sometimes more function based on what's going on and what they felt they could contribute. So what I was thinking about last week, riding around, I often listen to public radio. Public radio has interesting conversations. I'm not saying everything is great. I don't accept everything I hear, but it adds to my knowledge and it tells me what's going on in the world, makes me feel good or bad about things. You know, there are people who would step over a body in the street and not even think twice to call 911 and say, hey, there's someone lying here. I heard about this principle and it really tugged at my heart. I believe in people helping people. That's how we got to where we are. The more we fight with each other, the more we keep the people who own most of the world happy, because we're not looking at them. Are they taking too much? I'm not against. I love free enterprise. I love our country. I love our capitalistic free enterprise, not Wild West system, but open system. I love laws that keep us understanding that there are boundaries, that you can't overdo it the way you treat people or the way you do things. But that's not all it's about. It's about people living together and helping one another. No matter what happened to my great-great-great-great-grandfather, because your great-great-great-great-grandfather attacked his village 3,000 years ago, I'm not going to settle that. I don't even need to settle that. If I was there, maybe I would have helped one side kill the other. But that's not where we are now. And the sooner we recognize that we waste a lot of our energy and a lot of time, as I've said, our culture doesn't yet take economics and say, when I was talking about education, that it costs maybe $1,000 a year to send a kid to school. If we let him fall out of school because he's not interested or has no incentive, it costs us, California being a large state, their statistics were, costs seven times as much to keep him in prison. And normally when you put someone in prison, they're going to be there for many years. So instead of spending $1,000 a year in educating them, so as I said, one of my thoughts, because everybody's coming up with their tax plans and new things we have to do, it isn't new. It's things that we should have recognized benefit us. Everybody who's born, those are our natural resources, no matter who they're born to, whatever color they are, whatever religion they want to practice. By educating them and giving them a purpose in life, we all benefit. So I know I said on one of my podcasts that I would love to, if I could ever get anybody to listen, to tell children when they enter high school that for every year they stay in high school, we're going to put $1,000 in a bank account for them. They don't get it till the 4 years of high school are done, meaning if they drop out, they're not going to get the first $1,000 till whatever they decided was better for them. Then they can apply for it. If they finish all 4 years, I said, there would be $4,000 that we put in an account for them, plus a bonus that we would bump it up to $10,000 if they graduate. The reason for that is, get a person educated at least high school level. That's much higher than the reading level of the average newspaper that we read, believe it or not. And this gets people thinking more. It's people who, because of each of our unique perspective, we don't understand it, but things that happen to us from the cradle till we start walking around and interacting with things teach us to become more hands-on, more technical, more functional. Everybody isn't that way, but to stimulate the human mind and people so that they get to this stage is important, because we all benefit from it. We don't know when the next good invention, or even the next stupid invention that keeps us happy. You know, I can't tell you how many millions of dollars was spent on something called a pet rock. It was just a nice rock that was cleaned up and lacquered and stuck in a cute little cardboard box. Somebody made tons of money on it. Look it up. The hula hoop, a simple piece of plastic that I don't remember if I mentioned it when I was talking about marketing way back on my podcast. One of my marketing professors, I did almost all my education at night. So New York City has tons of schools for everything, day or night. So in my undergraduate and even graduate work, a lot of my teachers were not only learned and had degrees, but they also ran businesses during the day. My marketing professors were successful marketing people who just decided to give back and teach the next generation. So one of them, back then, he said they did walk in his office, and yes, he made money on new things that he'd say, okay, I'll back it. But somebody walked in with the hula hoop, and he couldn't see that it would hit and be that popular. So he passed on it. Not that he was poor, but once the hula hoop took off, he knew that he missed that boat. So he wasn't crying that he didn't make enough money. He just said, we don't all always see what might become popular. And these simple things keep people happy, make them do things. Hula hoop gave people a lot of exercise, just standing there gyrating. So the simple things that could distract us or make money for us, people who invented the little button that you press on top of a pressurized can so you can have a spray can, the little clicker in a pen so that it works and it goes out and retracts so it doesn't leave ink in your pocket as much. All of these little things earned someone a hell of a lot of money. They were improvements. Everything we do in life, somebody looks at it and they say, oh, this might work better. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. So I got thinking, this is the way I've always thought. Why can't people just apply their brain to things that might be more functional, instead of fighting with each other, instead of wasting time on things that started centuries before you were born? And yes, everybody, we have laws. Let's stay a country of laws and let's apply them, but let everybody have their freedom. As I've said before, something I came up with as a statement in the late 60s was freedom is a double-edged sword. To have it, you must give it. So again, if I don't give somebody the freedom to express themselves, to walk around, I'm not free because I'm imprisoning them. I'm not allowing them to have the same freedom I have. Freedom is a thing that is an equivalency that, you know, okay, I'll let you all go in a swimming pool. Hopefully you know how to swim. Hopefully you won't urinate in the pool. We have rules. That's fine. Those are rules to keep us healthier, keep us sanitary. When I hear about a president like the one we have now who comes in and he says, too many regulations. Well, man, he doesn't like anybody telling him what to do. And unfortunately, we've had for the first 2 years of his administration a Congress who's very complicit and compliant with what he likes. So you hear the saying quid pro quo. You give us the judges we want that are very conservative that we would like while we're in charge of the whole Congress, and we'll cooperate, let you get away with acting like a king. Bad thing to do. These old men, they should either retire if they don't remember that they would have balked this on anybody else. They are, in effect, being treasonous to the Constitution that they swore an oath to defend our freedoms. So again, things make me think all the time. And as I said, last week I was listening to NPR radio, and they had on a guy who's a principal in Newark, New Jersey. Now, Newark, New Jersey is an interesting city. A lot of people don't know that one of our more famous universities, Ivy League universities, Princeton, actually was a second university in Newark 150 years ago or something. And Newark said, well, we don't need two universities. We're not big enough for all of that at the time. And they shipped it down to another part of New Jersey, and it became Princeton. I may have my facts a little bit off, but that's the way I remember the story. And then Princeton grew over there, down in New Jersey, named the town after them, or them after the town. And a lot of people don't know, a lot of the farmers in New Jersey and New York State were black farmers, because when they got away from the South, even though there was enough prejudice in any part of our country at that time, they would go up to these areas and they'd open up farms. So a lot of the farmland that was developed was also developed from African slaves who got free and got to someplace where they could say, hey, I'll get my little farmhouse, I'll grow this stuff, I'll sell it to people, and I'll stay out of their face as long as they leave me alone. We don't understand our history. It all helped build our country. All of us doing what we were good at the time, but sharing it. You know, this famous story of the early pilgrims, where they almost fought with the Native Indians, as a lot of people did when they met each other. But it was the Native Indians who showed them how to plant corn. They were starving. They were almost dying out till the Indians and they got together. And guess what? The Indians spoke English. Not all of them, but the chief. And one of the other Indians who was captured and had ended up in England for a year. So he was a smart young fella, and he had learned English better than most of the pilgrims who were there. This interaction between people for a common cause, helping feed them, showing them what kernels of corn were. Corn became the major grain in this country and a major staple that fed people, just like rice is. So here I am listening to NPR while I'm driving around in the car, as usual. And I hear this principal talking to the commentator, principal out of Newark, New Jersey. He was on because he'd been written up because people had said, holy, air. Anyway, sorry, it's getting warm in the studio. Anyway, the bottom line is that this guy, his name is Hakeem Cook. I believe he grew up in Newark himself, but he got educated. He came back. He ended up the principal of a school. The school that he was principal of was, I believe it may have been a high school or junior high school. So, you know, teenage children and the rest of it. And he noticed that there were a lot of problems, you know, people being picked on. Children are like that unless we teach them better. You know, if I tell my child, would you like to have someone point at you because you're growing up and you're fat because you haven't started looking at your body yet or thinking about your shape? You're wearing glasses and they think that means you're weaker. Anyway, the point is, human animals seem to like to point out differences, and they point them out in a nasty way often, instead of just saying, oh, he's different. He wears pink instead of yellow. Someday we'll learn a little better, but in the meantime, he found that he had a lot of these children who were in there. Their clothes were soiled. They didn't look like they had slept. Some of them were falling asleep in class. So he understood a lot of them maybe don't have a house, maybe are living in a car, living in a cardboard box in a park, because you need an address usually to go to school. So when you get a big city with a lot of people that are poor at a given point in their life, they don't mean to be, but they're looking for a way out of it. So he decided that the kids would be better off if he could do something about getting their clothes washed easily. You know, if the single parent home, they're working two jobs to try and put food on the table or bring it into the car to eat. So he decided, he went to one of the big companies, I think it was, and they deserve a hell of a lot of credit. I think it was Procter & Gamble, big company, owns a lot of detergent lines and deodorants, a lot of things that we use day to day, soaps and the rest of it. And he talked to them and said, could you help with this? I want to set up a laundry in the school. You know, there are rooms where they had room or an old kitchen or something where they had the water line so it wouldn't be too hard. And they donated washers and dryers to his school. And again, what did they do beside that? You want your product out there to be used because that's how you market and get people to say, oh, that's what I grew up with. I'm going to use it. So they gave them the detergents and the rest of the stuff that you need for laundry. Okay? So he put it in there and he informed his classes and the students that, hey, you can bring your clothes to school. And if you don't have time to go to the basement where you live, he didn't insult them and say, maybe you're not living anywhere. So they all started using the facilities and he had someone in charge of it. So here they were able to wash their clothes. I forget if he also set up showering where they could use it in a gym area or something. But these simple things that a lot of us take for granted, that these students didn't. They were worried that their clothes looked rumpled or dirty. Once he started making it available for them to wash their clothes at school, they were doing better in class. His school became better rated. These students, their mind was not lost to us. Remember, I said, $1,000 a year to keep someone in a school, 6 or 7 times that amount to keep them in a prison. And you're going to pay longer to keep them in a prison. And then if you don't teach them anything useful, you're going to pay forever with having to hunt them down and put them back in prison. So when you add up the economic costs and the opportunity that we could have, that's why I said it would cost us as a people so much less to incentivize. You know, if somebody's at a job, if you say, hey, if you meet your numbers and you do a little better, you're going to get a bonus. You're at least giving them the outlook that they can earn some extra. Really simple concepts. Human beings like rewards, just like any animal. The idea of dangling, you know, a stick with a carrot in front of a horse to keep it moving. We're no different. We like rewards. We're happy to get patted on the back. So let me just say, before I babble too much right now, my alter ego is dripping out of my ear. Won't stop. My alter ego is often connected to my soul and my conscience. So we're going to give you that treat. We've gotten great response for it. So I let my alter ego drip out. Over to my alter ego.
Good morning, my fellow listeners and Facebook and participants and Instagram, The Culture Radio. So happy to be back. I am going to go off from what the host is speaking about, because I think that we have a lot that we need to be following as citizens of the U.S., citizens of the state of Florida, as voters in general. I want to cover a couple of things. The president was at the NRA, who, by the way, sets policies and legislation just like the Koch brothers, not him, and not even the Republican Senate and House legislatures. They just follow what they tell them to do. Voters, you need to be aware, and Democrats, this is what you need to understand. The Republican Party, the NRA, and the president want to kill your children. They want to kill your communities. They want to arm everyone because their children go to little special islands that they buy away from the general population. They want to take away your jobs and keep you poor. They want to take away your rights to vote by any means necessary. And blacks, minorities pay particular attention to that because that's what they wish to do. That's the ultimate goal and objective. No matter what he walks around talking about, make America great again, it means make it white again. And for whites, especially poor whites who forget what the Constitution was all about and the Declaration of Independence, it did not give rights to everybody. If you did not own land, if you were not wealthy, you could not vote. So it wasn't carte blanche that every white person and every individual and women, they couldn't vote. If you start with one, which was how Hitler started, you start with the lowest denominator and you get to the price that you really want. We really need to watch this. Watch the fact that he is giving carte blanche to a police department to shoot you down when he, one, decides that he is pulling out of the UN Arms Treaty Accord. Why would you do that? We are the number one arms seller to the world. So he now wants every country in the world, the NRA, to be carrying guns so they continue to shoot and kill each other and keep their respective communities poor. It's all about the money, not about safety, but money. So please pay attention to that. The Violence Against Women Act, which was passed by President Clinton in 1994, has lapsed, and the Senate has refused to reauthorize it. Now, people,
to bring it up for a vote.
Women who are abused, pay attention, and that doesn't matter what color you are, white, black, pink, or yellow. What that act does is provide funding for local agencies to help women who are abused to be able to either go to a safe house or start a new life with their kids. How can any woman in America, and this goes even for Women for Trump voters, actually allow these people and these men and these women like Senator Collins and Murkowski and all of them to let a bill like this actually lapse and not reauthorize it? So they don't really care about you. Think about that, women. So I want voters to keep that in the back of their minds, front and center. The Violence Against Women Act has lapsed, and Mitch McConnell and his Republican Party refused to reauthorize it. And you know why? Because there's something about the bill relating to guns that they don't like. So guns actually are more important than the health and safety of our community. So please, I want you guys to be aware. Please also be aware that Otto Warmbier, who was brought over here, so-called by President Trump from North Korea, the dictator he loves, just like he loves Putin and everybody else who's a dictator, our government signed an agreement to give North Korea $2 million of our tax dollars for the care of Otto while in North Korea. Please be aware, voters, that all of the stuff that the president is doing out there, calling people's names, is continuing to deflect away from the stuff that they're taking away from us. I have ordered the Mueller report. I hope I get it this week because I want to read all of it. He was never exonerated, no matter what he says. However, I do fault Mueller for not going ahead and indicting him in writing even though he was not going to follow through because of a Department of Justice letter or opinion. It's just an opinion. It is not law. So people really think about it. I'm going to give this back to our host. I have other things that I want to cover, but I want people to think. If you care about women, why would the Violence Against Women Act lapse and not be brought up for reauthorization?
Let me just clarify a few things so nobody misunderstands anything they heard. You look at Hitler and you study him carefully. I have told people that he's one of these leaders who was born with a natural aptitude, not just like Donald Trump for marketing, which he was damn good at that, big rallies and stuff. Look at Trump from the day he started. He originally, when the first day he got in office, he already applied for his next run in 2020. And from the day he got in office, he has been holding these rallies that we all see. When he holds a rally, he limits who gets into those halls. He has people who wear his hats that he makes money off. I talked about last week that one of the things he's done, and I've discussed it with people, I may not have gotten into the details because I had a lot of things to catch up with last week. When he gives us back his first 2 years of salary as a child, learning what the president of the U.S. made, because I understood what a CEO of a decent-sized company made, which even years ago was millions, we give the president $400,000 a year. But that's not the point. He's the most important person on the planet, generally speaking. He represents the biggest country. But you know what? He can't sign a treaty. He can like a treaty, but Congress has to go along with it. He can't technically walk away from treaties that have been ratified. So we have to look at everything he does. So this thing on arms and the rest of it, he likes, as I said, don't be fooled. When a man, while he's campaigning, tells you, I'm brilliant, I pay no taxes. Okay, and then when he gets elected, what does this man do? Now, everybody is saying, well, he has to learn how to be a president. He doesn't have the background. That's bullshit. The man knows what he wants to get out of this job. Money in his pocket. That's all that matters to this man, if you really understand him. And he doesn't care who gets hurt while he does it. So this man gets in office, and he shows you the check that quarterly he gives $100,000 back to the Treasury. So he gives us back $800,000 for the first 2 years. He has spent over 220 days at Trump-owned resorts. I mean, companies that have properties that he has people visit and pay money. So when he takes the White House, his family, the Secret Service, and the press and everybody else there, okay? Now the press, their companies pay the bill. But when we have a president, George Bush Jr. went back to his ranch in Crawford if he wanted to relax. We have Camp David. We take care of it. It's secure and everything else. People can go there and take dignitaries there. But Trump, no matter what he's had you look at about what other people do, he has spent in his first 2 years over 220 days at his resorts. And I am waiting for an oversight committee to just do the audit. I would personally do it if they let me. The numbers range from $1 million that we pay for a weekend. So if we say it's 3-day weekend, that's at least $70 million that we put in his companies because he goes there on a regular basis. Think about that. 2 years is about 730 days. 220 of those days plus he has spent at his resorts and charged us for room, board, golf carts, fees, anything, anything. That's how the man puts money in his pocket. If we go by the other estimate, the high estimate is $1 million a day when he goes there, with everybody who's involved, his family, Secret Service, and the rest that goes on our bill. $1 million a day, that's $220 million that we've already put in his companies, okay? For the first 2 years he's been in office. Do not laugh when he says, you know what, you guys want to see my tax returns? Well, I'm going to show you my 2018 tax return to show you I'm a great businessman, because he's going to show $100 million of profit. That's over and above whatever he had in his operations already. If nobody heard it, when he became president, he doubled the membership fee, not for new members, but for any member in Mar-a-Lago, put more money in his pocket. So he gives us $800,000 for the first 2 years, and he walks away with at least $70 million to $200-plus million in his pocket. Not a bad deal. Does that show he's a great businessman? So when he waves a 2018 return in front of people and said, here, look at my current one. It'll show you how great I am. And he says, yeah, and I'm going to pay $50 million. What does he care? It's our money that he stole from us by dragging everybody to his resorts. Is that a great businessman? No, that's a con artist. That's not what our presidents do. Check what any president, Republican or Democrat, did when I went on vacation. Yes, we paid the bills of the people who protect them and stuff, but that we pay daily anyway. But we didn't have to pay for them staying somewhere, except for certain. We had to pay his salary, period. They paid for their vacation. And check all the rallies he's had. I would like to see that he has reimbursed the U.S. government for every rally he has held for those first 2 years. That's not government business. He's holding a rally to tell you how bad everybody is and how great he is. If he is so confident that he has been cleared and everything else, it's really simple. Say, sure, release the Mueller report, unredacted, give him my tax returns. He doesn't want to see his old tax returns. He said, I pay no taxes, before he became president. Then what does he do? He goes to NATO, our allies that protect us from Soviet coming directly at us for 70 years almost. He says, oh, everybody's not paying enough. He's paying nothing for the country that he uses our roads, our airports, our military to support his business being free enough to operate. So again, folks, you got to understand this. I have a few more things I want to talk about, but I'll let my conscience talk again. But understand that Hitler pointed at the Jews in Germany and used them as a scapegoat. As he took over the country and centralized control, as this president is doing, because now he has told you, just look back at the last few weeks of newsreels, he has an acting secretary of Homeland Security. Well, that includes the Secret Service, FEMA, which takes care of us in disasters. How many millions of people between the U.S. citizens for over 100 years from Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands are still not fixed up, because he thinks he doesn't have to help them? They're not his kind of Americans. Excuse me, this country was made by all of us and will continue to flourish, because we are, that's what this is about. Make it happen. We are a country of innovators, people who come here and strive within a free government under the rule of law to build something for themselves and their family, and it benefits us all. When we understand we waste our time arguing with them, we will go forward faster and better and not listen to snake oil salesmen like Donald. So anyway, he technically, as I've said, if nobody's heard me, the term is interloper. He's an invalid president because during the campaign, he cheated and broke federal election laws. By that I mean, in federal election, you can research it and look it up, solicitation of a foreign entity or person is against federal election laws. If you run in a contest and you break the rules, you're technically disqualified. So if they look at it, they should take away the title president because he disqualified himself. Solicitation doesn't mean anybody even gives you anything, but it's against the law to solicit a foreign country or not. So Russia, if you're listening, you got a puppet who loves you. And if we're stupid enough, we'll let him stay there. Worst case is we have to wait for the 2020 election. Just like everybody came out in 2018, come out and let's send him back to whatever hole he crawled out of, because we do not need someone who doesn't care about us as a nation. back to my alter ego.
Thank you. I want to ask a question of every Democratic voter, women in particular. Are we women or are we children? Are you going to say, why is she asking that? I want to go back to the Anita Hill hearing because she came out and made some comments about Joe Biden. I listened to those hearings. I was young at the time. I thought that Bush, unfortunately, chose a man that was not going to do justice for people of color on the courts. He didn't want a brilliant man. He wanted an idiot. He wanted a buffoon, and that's what he got, so they could roll back everything that our ancestors fought and died for, so that people today, whether you're black, white, pink, yellow, Asian, Chinese, I don't really give a damn where you come from, would have the opportunities you have today, especially if you're a minority. So that's why he was put in the Supreme Court, to roll all those things back. Then they brought Anita Hill in. I'm sorry for whatever happened to her. I listened to the hearing. And the thing that bothered me the entire time was, the man did these things to you. He goes to head the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and you follow him, even though he was harassing you. I don't understand why women do these things, but if you're a woman, and you ought to take responsibility for the actions that you take. Now she comes out and she makes her comment, she's not satisfied with Biden's apology. I wouldn't have apologized because based on what was happening back then, it was a really different situation. I am telling men today, you cannot continue to apologize for things when adult women are themselves putting themselves in some of these situations. Now we get Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court, women for Trump. They voted for Trump because he didn't grab them, he didn't kiss them, he didn't rape them, he didn't molest them. That is a poor excuse for any woman to vote for anyone that does these things, but they did it, and they put Trump in power. They put Kavanaugh in power. Oh, yes, Senator Collins, Senator Murkowski, all these women put Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court. So do they really care about how women are being treated on a day-to-day basis? And let me tell you that the average woman, the working woman, the poor woman, the minority woman who's being harassed on a daily basis, nobody gives a damn about. The educated ones who got a lot of money, they come out, they shed a few tears, and now we have the Me Too movement. Democrats, women, the election should be about taking our country back from a dictator, and it should be about families. Men and women and children, not just about women. There are men out there who don't earn a lot of money, who also get abused. Nobody talks about that. We've got lots of women who are CEOs in America, 99% white. What is the excuse? How much more do you want? You're not taking your hand and pulling the other women up with you. But in this Me Too movement, you've got everybody just joining the bandwagon, forcing candidates to say they're going to pick a woman as a vice president. Why do I have to pick a woman as a vice president? I want to pick whoever is going to be the best candidate, whoever is going to beat Donald Trump. And Anita Hill, where were you when Trump was being became president, when he was running his election? Where were you at that time when you heard all of these things about him? You said nothing. Where were you with Kavanaugh? You'd said nothing. And now Biden comes in, and all of a sudden, 20-something years of these memory flashes come back to you. Democrats do not allow people like Omarosa and the wonderful Congresswoman from Ohio running Bernie Sanders' campaign again to distract you from what we need to do. Do not allow the party to be split. This should be about family, should be about taking the country back from a bunch of dictators called Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, and his entire Republican Party, the NRA, Fox News, who are running the country. They're not running the country because they're all compromised. and they don't care.
And by the way, not just my alter ego and my conscience are totally aligned on this with me. The bottom line is that I remember hearing the Anita Hill hearings, and I said, what is the difference if you had a friend who was in an abusive relationship, and no matter how many times they've been beaten or been in the hospital, you kept saying, why do you go back with him? Even if he apologizes, say thank you, but I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to even expose myself to the opportunity for you to beat on me again. So that's what got me in the Anita Hill hearings. You could talk about what Joe Biden said, you know, we all evolve. Look at Obama, bright guy. It took him a while to decide that don't ask, don't tell doesn't make sense. You know, if you're gay, you're gay. Does that change you from being a man or a person or caring? Same thing with Anita Hill. She kept following this guy. Yeah, you could use the excuse that he was a black guy on the ascendancy, and so I'd like to work for him. It's a job I maybe couldn't get from a white guy. But if he's abusing you and harassing you and you're willing to talk about it in public, how do I look at you? Even if you were my sister, I'd be looking at you and saying, why are you hanging out with the guy that you're saying harasses you and does this to you? Go to another neighborhood. Live someplace comfortably. Move to another state and sit on the beach. The other thing I was going to say about Hitler, as he got more and more power and consolidated it, forget whether you were Jewish or anything else. He understood how the governments run. We have people running who've been mayors and governors and the rest of it. They say all politics is local. You look at Pete, he's a bright guy, he served, he's gay. He doesn't mind admitting it. He's an Oxford scholar. I mean, you know, he's got all the great credentials, better than this guy who says he's brilliant who's sitting in there. But it's at the mayor level that things happen. Hitler started appointing what they call in Germany, the mayor is a Bürgermeister. A Berg is where you live. The Meister is the guy who's in charge of it. So he appointed in every town when he could, or through his henchmen that he sent out there, his Stephen Millers, he sent them out to find out who was the most downtrodden guy in the city. In a lot of cases, you'd understand it might have been a shoemaker. Everybody threw the shoes, he worked hard, he made his money, fed his family, but people looked down on him. It was like a street sweeper. It was a very basic job. Hitler would take the lowest guy in any city and he'd appoint them mayor, Bürgermeister. And then when the people came, because now he's in charge of your city, Hitler appointed him. Okay, so when Donald Trump appoints somebody who's unqualified, he has his reasons. He's read his history. He wants to keep you off balance while he puts money in his pocket. That's what Trump is about. How much money can I get out of this? So when everybody keeps saying, well, he's learning, he's becoming presidential, that's bullshit. The man is behind the scenes, and we could go through that some other time. Playing with contracts. I've told you, I'm a veteran. The three guys from Mar-a-Lago, he put in charge of the VA as a shadow board of directors. The federal budget for the VA is almost $200 billion a year. He has had them shift who contracts and brings supplies to them. You don't think that those guys are making contributions to his campaign through the back door? Just take a careful look if you're a veteran at the water they sell in the cafe. Okay, it was changed because of them. The man knows how to milk it. His father taught him. Bottom line is, Hitler put against his own people the lowest guy in town so that everybody who spit on this guy now has to bow down and listen to him because he's in charge of the town. Kept them off balance so they're not looking at him while he's doing whatever the hell he wants, diverting money into more arms to take over the world. Trump said we got to spend more, build up. As I've said before, we have more than enough nuclear material to blow the planet up hundreds, if not thousands of times over. We must maintain it, which we do, because it's dangerous stuff. We can come up with better delivery systems. But you know what? He could look at Kim Jong-un and say, hey, Kim, test all the weapons you want. Send one in our direction, and we will send two that will absolutely melt your whole country. You will be glass by the time the explosion is over. And we may lose some people, but you won't have a country. You won't exist anymore. You have to understand how to deal with a bully, whether it's Trump or Kim Jong-un. And now Trump has something going where Putin's going to go with Kim and they're going to make a trilateral agreement for nuclear whatever. Bullshit. He's playing into Trump and everybody else. Again, we also had what I was going to talk about, well, volunteers, because as Americans, I have volunteered a lot in my life. Little things that I've done with people, big things. I'm proud of my children that they have gone out and helped people. My kids, wherever they work, whatever company they're for, they have organized things. They've had their company put things together where they serve people who are homeless, food, whatever you want to think of. I, with my alter ego, have helped Habitat for Humanity, because they're a great organization, that help people get a home. That enriches our country. When people own the home they're in, they feel better about where they're living or what they're working for. And I've worked with these people. Samaritan Resource Center, the word Samaritan's used a lot because Good Samaritan arrests on hospitals. It's women volunteers that bring around portable trucks sometimes, and they wash clothes for people. And then they fold them and put it, and the people can pick them up later. People who don't have time or a laundromat or can't afford to go to it. Okay? There's another one called Hebni Nutrition, H-E-B-N-I. They've converted old Lynx buses. And I mean, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, because that's what America is about. We care about each other. Okay, in the old days, if somebody's house burnt down, the town got together and rebuilt it. The same principle, American innovation, American caring, make it happen. Okay, let's not be diverted. But the Hebni Nutrition, they ride around these Lynx buses. They bring produce from the farms because what people hear in the modern age is food deserts. They don't have access to the vegetables that are good nutrition. If we're going to build up our children and our minds, we want them to have the proper nutrition. They go in these trucks, they pick it. These people give of their time. Lynx donated the old buses. This is what we can do as people. Every now and then we hear about a 5-year-old or a 12-year-old on the internet who saw some poor puppy out there and he did something about it. This is the idea, caring about other people, our country people, period. Okay, not listening to this crap that we're being invaded by a few thousand people who are being slaughtered in their home country. And then we cut off funds so he has them coming up to tell us. He's breaking rules by using the U.S. military within the country illegally. It's what's called posse comitatus. We have laws against that. It's all to distract. Trump's not trying to learn how to be president. He's figured out what's here, what can I get? The $5 billion that he wants in a fund that he controls, because normally all defense funds are spent under defense authorization acts by generals and other people who know what we need to keep us safe. When he changes that money and puts it in a nice little pot where he can have someone in charge of it, he's going to hire someone to build a wall, but they're going to skim something off to put in his campaign fund. The man is a master at getting money out of our pockets. He doesn't need our money. He's so damn rich, let him go stay by himself. He was never a big fish in New York real estate. There are billionaire families that are out there that really have power and money. That's where I'm from. I've known some of them. I am not rich. I am not wealthy. I live mainly on Social Security and my veterans pension because I have a disability. Bottom line is, let's not be fooled by these guys who come around selling snake oil. That's all he is. And he's going to keep doing it. And he's good at debating. I'd love to debate him because I can change on a dime from one side to the other. That's all he does. He will lie to your face. And no matter how many times they prove it and show you the video, what he said, okay? You like to say, well, he dresses nicely. He's a successful man. He's successful at one thing, taking money out of your pockets, period, period, full stop, extra stop. Anyway, I love these people I've seen who go out of their way to help other people. That's what humanity is about. That's what means you have a heart that's in the right place. It isn't just an organ that pumps blood through your body. It's something that's connected to your soul and has feelings. Let me let my alter ego speak again, but that's what this whole thing was about today. Humanity and how we should help each other instead of wasting time on bullshit in plain English.
Thank you so much. And I know my topic today has been a lot about the elections, but it's really more about what's happening in the background that no one is paying attention to. Young people, young women, women in general, men, young men. You have a Supreme Court that has been packed to roll back a woman's right to choose an abortion. That case is working through its way. The Supreme Court is going to hear it. And you may wake up tomorrow and find out that that law has been eradicated. I don't know what you men are going to do. Young men, I don't know what you're going to do. You have a chance encounter and the woman gets pregnant, sometimes purposefully, sometimes not wanting to because they're not thinking about all the birth controls that are out here. And you don't have a choice about your future. And the funny thing about it is they want to take that away from you, but they want to cut funding to help you when you get into trouble. They don't want to support you or your kids. So what are you going to do? End up in the streets begging while Donald Trump and his children and Mitch McConnell and all of them who don't really know what the hell it means to work and earn a living. They are just trust fund babies going out there telling you how to live your life, but they don't know what it is to really live life. Pay attention, men and women. How is it that he had no problem, the Republican Party, no problem telling businesses they don't have to give you benefits for birth control, but golly, you must pay the little blue pill so we can have them have sex with you so that they can feel like men again. And it doesn't matter which man, could be a rapist, a killer, doesn't matter. Women, stop following these guys, and just because it didn't happen to you, you decide it doesn't matter. I'll vote for the rapist, for the sexual harasser, for the Donald Trumps of the world, for the Epsteins of the world who are running around with their sex things here and abroad, and he's still not in jail. Start thinking about that. When Ken Starr and Newt Gingrich went after Bill Clinton over his affair, guess who was having an affair? Newt Gingrich and Ken Starr. How many millions of dollars they paid for that? And then he had the nerve to call Hillary an enabler of Bill Clinton. You know what? That would be every damn woman all over the world, because most women, and I know you don't want to hear it, stay with men who cheat on them, who beat them, who have mistresses, either for money because they don't have another way out, or to keep their family together for their children. That's what women do. So remember, don't be accusing any woman who stays with her husband. Melania's still with Trump, making lots of money, and she doesn't care. Should we say she's an enabler of Donald Trump?
Let me make it real personal. I came up with an example that really hits it. We're almost done for today, but everybody argues about women's rights and men want to make laws and tell them what they could do with their body and arrest it. And believe it or not, I don't believe in late term abortions, because when a child is ready to be born, it's ready to be born. But if you don't want a child, we don't need a child that you're going to disregard or beat or make into another criminal. But let's look at it differently. Men are telling women what they can do with their body. But what would men do? And I came up with this because when you talk about the prostate, men, 80% or more, I believe, of prostate problems are with men. How would men like it if suddenly your health coverage did not cover prostate, because it's only men who mainly have that problem? Go out and handle it yourself. Pay for the doctor yourself. Suffer. Have to catheterize yourself so you can pee if it's squeezing you. Okay? Let's get it personal. How would you like it if somebody decides that men shouldn't get their prostate covered? We need sensible coverage. We don't need sexist coverage. Okay? I've worked with abused women. I've helped them, but not when they keep going back to the abuser, as we've said. So look, I hope you guys all have a great weekend. I feel obviously very strongly about this, as well as my alter ego, partial conscience, that I know you enjoy hearing, nicer voice than I have, but believe me, equally as strong about what's right and wrong. Think about things before you accept them. Say, wait a minute, isn't this like this if I did that? Don't just give me the potatoes because you say you ran out of rice. No, why did you run out of rice? What are you trying to pawn off on me? Men would feel the same way if they said your prostate is not going to be covered. Do whatever you want with it. It's your problem. Okay? Or we're going to control whether you get it taken care of or not. Because men generally suffer from that. Just like women suffer from pregnancy because they have the reproductive system where the baby grows. But it can't grow without us donating. Okay? You're going to be a giver? Keep signing up. Take care of what you've done. Stand up and be a man. So men, don't just look to women and what they want. And women, equal rights, more women start businesses than men do, I believe, because they're more free to run a business. Look at your little store, see who's running it, okay? Look in the background. So yeah, do they want to be CEOs? They don't need it. They've developed something. They're smart enough to figure it out. That's what I love about women, when they're smart and they're functional. And as long as their heart works. Anyway, have a great weekend. I appreciate that you came in and listened, and just got to get you to think. AE equals MC, little caret squared, is for my Instagram, my Facebook. On Instagram, it's AE, the word equals, then MC, and the word squared. And then on email, it's at Gmail. It's AE, the word equals, then the letters MCSQ@gmail.com. Go to Culture Radio. You'll find the link to get me. Send me stuff. Tell me you're out there. Tell me you're hearing it. Share this with your friends. We're done.